And now,
the definition. Definition.
Hey, beautiful people, how you're doing today? It's your girl Destiny here, and welcome back to my channel. So this video is a video of our black coffee sister dishing it out for the white ice cream women. Guys, this sister was spitting things, and I'm just like, okay. If you know you're a white woman and you want to do better, you need to watch this video. Anyway, she went on to say a whole lot of things. I need you guys to see this video and then we'll talk.
In case y'all didn't know it already, racism is America's default setting. And it's proven every time white America works so hard against things that would only make it better for them and everybody else. What we are seeing happening in Georgia right now only reflects how white America has historically and even to this day worked so hard against its own best interests simply because anything that could have helped them was connected to somebody black. The way y'all will vote against your own best interests, work so hard to dismantle things that would only have spared you the grief that is your healthcare system right now is very telling, because the fact that Obamacare was called Obamacare was no accident. It was just better health care for you and everybody else, which could have spared y'all a lot of the grief that you're going through right now in Georgia, but all over the country as well. Because your need to hate us causes you to screw yourselves over. Look at critical race theory, which is nothing more than accurate American history, no longer being edited, redacted, and whitewashed by the colonizer. The majority of you people arguing against it know nothing about the concept. You don't understand how it would be implemented in a K-12 lesson plan in any way. None of you read the books that you want banned. But because Tucker Carlson and your Facebook bigoted groups have told you that this is bad and it's connected to black people, you're running for the hills and doing everything that you can to pretend to cry in front of a school board meeting to stop it from happening. America is so racist that the racism of the racist isn't even seen as racist, because it's so natural to be this way towards other people that it's not even seen as racism. Racism has to be so violent and extreme to y'all for y'all to even acknowledge it half the time. And even then, you want to see the whole video first. America is so racist that you enjoy the carnage of the racism. Even when you're disgusted by it and shocked and appalled, you watch the whole thing and then rewind and play it again. America never conquered a single savage. It was colonized by savages. We honor dead enslavers. Y'all sit there, break bread, and have a nice meal to celebrate coming to this country and brutalizing and taking the lives of thousand upon thousand of indigenous people. And then, mind you, y'all do the same thing with lynchings, having picnics. What is it with y'all trying to have a nice meal while people are losing their lives? And then celebrating it after the fact. Like, what's wrong with y'all? What used to be considered minstrelsy is now y'all's version of appropriation. Oh, I'm sorry, appreciation. Instead of gathering up the good old boys, getting in the pickup truck, and taking out a whole town of black people, now you just call it gentrification. White women, because you're going to see how many white women still voted against their own best interests.
First of all, good morning. That aged well now, didn't it? This is not going to just be an I told you so. This is going to be the last straw breaking for me when it comes to white women. Politically, no white woman is to be trusted. I've tried to do the things that other creators want to do and reach across the aisle to y'all and try to extend an olive branch. But just like y'all fucked us over with this Roe v. Wade bullshit, y'all have yet again shown us that you only see your power in your whiteness and not your womanhood. However, let y'all fuck it up and y'all want every other race of woman to rally behind you based on your womanhood. Because we all have to be in this together, right? White women have never been powerful for being women. Your whiteness is where your power is. Other races of women had to find power in our womanhood because we were denied access to power based on our skin color. And please understand that your whiteness only has power in it because white men gave it to you. In yourselves, you're weak as fuck. And if you didn't make white babies, these white men wouldn't see it for y'all either. White men propping y'all up on this pedestal, making y'all the standard of beauty, making y'all think that you're such a damsel in distress that they have to rescue all the time, is nothing more than white men knowing that they need y'all to keep making them. If it wasn't for the fact that they can't make white children with other women, they would cut y'all loose and would have done it centuries ago. And yet y'all have the audacity to get on the internet and try to tell women that they need to work alongside y'all trifling asses because y'all fuck up and then y'all require the power and support of every other race of woman because the white men in your community will not help y'all at all. And when I say work alongside y'all, what I really mean is we do all the work and y'all take all the credit and benefits from all of that labor for nothing. The way y'all played us in Texas, the way y'all played us in Georgia, after sitting on this app not even 3-4 months ago, screaming from your rooftops about how y'all need to work alongside black women, how we need to listen to black women because we don't know what we're doing when the entire time, like I said in that first stitch, y'all know exactly what you're doing. You're not voting against your own best interests. You're voting to protect your white privilege. We see each other. Oh, and please miss me in my fucking comments doing what y'all are doing in other people's comments talking about, well, I tried. Oh, well, you can't speak for us and tell us what we're doing. How are you speaking on white women? Ain't nobody been spending more time staring at white women and figuring y'all out than black women. If anything, us and y'all white men are the ones that got y'all clocked more than a motherfucker. Oh, y'all gassed Beto up in Texas, right? On social media, at least. You gassed Stacey Abrams up on social media for the public to see. But then when you got into that private polling booth, you took off your BLM bio and put on your white hood. Let this go as my declaration of divestation, bitch. Seacrest out.
And exactly what's happening. They want an authoritarian.
He's absolutely right. And I've been telling y'all this about men, about white people, about this country for years. And y'all don't want to listen because you hate hearing the truth. Y'all are the ones out here that need to believe that these white men don't want things to be the way that they are and that they just need to learn differently. No. America was founded on the enslavement of black people, on the genocide of indigenous people. White women had no rights. Children were being raped. Children were being married off to old white perverted men. When they said they wanted to make America great again, this is the again they were talking about. And please don't be surprised when y'all wake up Tuesday morning and these same people go out and choose violence at the polls. They have seen the world change and they don't like it. And they are going to weaponize all of the fake privilege that they have really given themselves to guarantee that they get their way again. And what's going to really have y'all gooped and gagged on Wednesday and Thursday when y'all start seeing the breakdown of all these poll numbers and who voted for who is how many black and brown people helped these motherfuckers do it. Y'all are going to be out here making the same videos you made attacking white women because you're going to see how many white women still voted against their own best interests. As if white women have ever voted for their own best interest. Y'all don't like me. Y'all don't like my option because I tell y'all that there are only two that are viable and would work. But because it's not something that y'all are prepared to do, you rather try to change the hearts of people that are heartless. You rather change the minds of people that are all of one mind, you know, like Legion. And I'm not telling y'all not to go vote. It's imperative that you do because they don't want you to play Jumanji with them. Because they know that if they keep you in the jungle and never let you roll your dice, that you ain't ever getting out of it. Rich white men in this country, in politics especially, are doing to America what Elon Musk has done to Twitter. You've been warned.
Let me know what you think about that video down in the comment section. I would like to know what you think about it. Just go ahead and share your thought, okay? And this video got a lot of people's reaction. This is some people's reaction to all what she said.
Y'all will vote against your own best interest, work so hard to dismantle things that would only have spared.
So I saw and reposted this video a day or so ago because I immediately recognized the truth in it. But because of the racism that I was indoctrinated into as a child, that I work every single day to pick bit by bit out of my soul. It took me a minute to connect all the dots. We all know, right, that when desegregation became legal, they, meaning white people, poured concrete in the public pools because if the black people could be in there, nobody could be in there. They took away all the good playground equipment because if black kids could play on them, then nobody could play on them. The examples go on and on and on. The real life, true examples. And it's that exact thinking of why we can't have universal health care or free daycare for our kids or free college or anything nice for anyone in this country. Because if we do it, then we have to do it for everyone, and that includes black people. And they won't allow it. That is how deep the racism runs in this country. To the point where some of them don't even realize that's why. It's just so deep in there that they can't, they resist, they can't possibly. And a lot of them know exactly why. They just won't say it out loud. Anyway, I just want to thank this creator for giving me another aha moment that makes me insane, but also gives me another weapon in my toolbox to fight back with. So thank you.
Class war, class war, class war.
Now, Jim, show this gentleman how you can dance and sing.
My attitude towards the Western powers. If you want to say there's no rules, fine. Don't go crying for your mummy when that comes.
America today finds herself in a unique situation. She's the only country in history in a position to become involved in a bloodless revolution.
If America does not respond creatively to the challenge to banish racism, some future historian will have to say that a great civilization died because it lacked the soul and commitment to make justice a reality for all men.
When a system doesn't work for the majority of the people, you gotta change the system.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your brother, Vyamir Deese, and this, or should I say, I am your brother, Vyamir Deese, and this is a Class War Battlefield podcast episode. How y'all doing? Y'all just heard a TikToker who published a string of videos around this past election in 2022. Or so I believe all of them come from 2022. The title of the video is called Black Woman Set White Woman Straight. Or Black Woman Set Straight White Woman. I decided to start off this podcast with that, because I need y'all to understand, I'm recording this on the federal holiday dedicated to Martin Luther King Jr. My last job that I had an experience which let me know how frustrating life was going to be as the reality of white minority status sunk in to white people. Now, to be clear, Malcolm X pointed this out back in the 60s. White people have always been a minority on this planet. Always.
The only way, should I say, that white people have been the majority in any place is they have annihilated the people who lived there, or as it seems in Europe, they started off one color, went through something crazy called the Ice Age, and came out another color. Either way, the notion that the majority on the planet is white has and will always be incorrect. Unless you start adding in the people who we often call yellow. But even then, looking at the Asian continent, you'd be surprised the amount of color that's there. There's hundreds of millions of colored Asians, and possibly even a billion colored Asians. It's quite amazing. Anyway, so my last job, after Donald Trump was elected, there was a decision, or actually it might have been the, no, it was after. There was a decision that was made, and no, it was the year before Donald Trump was elected. There was a decision that was made where Good Friday, which had always been a point of contention because there were multiple non-Catholics working at the company who wanted other days off to mark various religious holidays. Good Friday was replaced as a day off with Martin Luther King Day. Now, when I started there, the department that I worked in, there were not many people working there. There were no black men. Oh, I'm sorry. There was one black man, a lighter-skinned black man working there. And then there were two other black women and a Afro-Puerto Rican. Within 4 months of being there, the Afro-Puerto Rican had been accused of stealing. She was gotten rid of. And the two black women who had worked there actually, who were working there prior to me, were gotten rid of by sheer pressure. So it was just me and this other lighter-skinned black guy. When it was decided that Dr. King that holiday would become one that the company gave off, I still remember this. Every year, for the next couple of years, everybody would keep asking me, because I was a big Dr. King fan and let everybody know it, well, I don't know why we have to get Dr. King off. I mean, it's not like we get Robert E. Lee Day off or something like that. Like, yeah, well, you can ask them if you can have Robert E. Lee Day off, but I don't think it's a federally recognized holiday. But, you know, you can ask them. Now, I was pretty okay, you know, with the stupidity of their questions and figured it would just, you know, it would turn over sooner or later. But it didn't. 2016 became 2017. I was being asked that. I wasn't even asked it like around the time that we had it. They would ask it obviously around the time that we had the day off, but I was being asked it throughout the year. 2017 became 2018. I was still being asked it. 2018 became 2019. I was still being asked it. Finally, I got tired of it. And I would tell them, go ask the main boss. Go ask him. Don't ask me no more. But they kept it up. 2019 became 2020. And I would keep telling them, why don't you go and ask somebody else? But they wouldn't. So, you know, I begin realizing something. These white people who I worked with, many of them, and a good many of them, not just like, oh, well, 30%. No, a good many of them, over 50%, were okay with racism. Were okay with bigoted statements. And they were okay with the things that made my life hell because other white people, white women, played an important role in this, by the way, and this must be stated. As I've said to you all before, the most brilliant racist between the two, white men, white women, are white women. Point blank, period. Why? Because they know the social cultural structure. They were the ones who gave me the biggest trouble and the most stress. Don't ever tell me that a feminist is on my side. I don't want women to be treated wrong, but I'm not stupid about this stuff either. This told me that as the world began to reflect the reality of the global population, black and brown people are the majority. Non-white people are the overwhelming majority of the population. White people were going to go nuts. Why? Because they bought into a lie. But not only did they buy into a lie, their incapacity to treat the people who they came across, who offered them humanitarian hellos, humanitarian sharing, for Christ's sake, if it wasn't for Native Americans taking pity on them, I apologize, Native indigenous people to this continent, the Europeans would have never survived. But because of the diabolical nature of the culture which they were bred in and stewed in, look at the history of Europe. I know white people in America like to think that, well, I'm an American, I'm not European. Fool, you lived, your family lived in Europe for 100 generations before you even knew that there was a place called the United States. And in fact, I'm sorry, I said 100 generations. I mean 300 generations. And that's according to scientists who can trace the whitening of the race up there back at least that far. Before you even knew this place existed, you were over there for that long, 300 generations plus. Plus. When you look at the history of Europe and the people coming out of there, what you realize is that they had an incapacity to see the human nature. The human nature of the people who they were coming into contact with. In fact, they saw these people that they came into contact with who treated them well as foolish. Psychopathic culture. Oh, I'm not talking about the people they came across. I'm talking about the European culture. Yeah, that hurts, but it's the truth. I find it amazing in today's climate. One of the things that is talked about vehemently, especially by a lot of conservatives, and there's going to come a day, family, where we're going to have a conversation about conservatism. But one of the things that conservatives love to talk about is the idea that there is nothing to feel guilty about. Nothing. The history, the past is the past. There's nothing to feel guilty about. Psychopathic personality. Need you to understand that. Oh, it ain't because I hate them. It's not because I don't like them. No. No, they all have a trait. They're disconnected from their emotions and they think it's okay. They think that you can do anything. And, by the way, I'm sorry. White people can do anything. And whether it's in the past or in the present or in the future. There should be no consequences. There should be no negativity aimed towards them. It just needs to be forgotten. However, if you are non-white, and you even glance the wrong way perceptively towards white people, you need everything that you have destroyed. And before these folks run out here and tell you that that's not what they mean, now that's exactly what they mean. These are the same cretins that if you went back to the early 2000s, hell, you didn't even have to go back to the early 2000s. Let's go back to the late 1990s. Because I used to hear this a lot from white people. White older people, white younger people. These are the same people who would look at the Middle East, couldn't even point it out usually on a map. And they would say, I don't know why they just don't bomb that place into a parking lot. Tens of millions of people. I don't know why they just don't bomb that place into a parking lot. You know why? Because that would be called a war crime. And I know you're too big to actually ever have to stand before a tribunal. But you better recognize, because sooner or later, the weak will become more powerful than you. Don't you know that? The idea of white guilt being a non-thing is disproved in real time. There are white folks, and unfortunately not as many as I would like, but they do feel bad about this. Moreover, the fact that there is a fight against having history told as it actually existed, as it occurred, says something about the older white generation's view of the younger white generation. Now, the older white generations, especially conservatives, will say, these younger people are softer. Well, what does soft mean? It means that they have a higher emotional and social and spiritual intelligence than the people who came before them. And that, to the older conservative in their 40s, some of them just a few years older than me, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. But what is more dangerous is the fact that they believe that there should be no guilt when it's clear that there is guilt. Now, they aren't feeling it. But it's definitely there to some degree. They wouldn't be fighting against it if it wasn't. Which brings me to, I think, the most disheartening reality that I've had to face in the last 30 years of my life. Now, mind you, you go back 30 years, I was 10. But throughout my life, I have taken the approach that if we talk long enough with white people, particularly black folks, we talk long enough with white people, as black people, they'd learn. And they'd understand. And they'd be able to get over their problems. Learning what I'm learning about history, especially in the last 5 years, I've come to realize that a lot of the problems that we want white people to get over are rooted in their culture. They can't get over it, because if they get over those problems, then the culture falls apart. And there has to be real introspection. And that's difficult. Because once you start to look inside as a white person, you start to see some very dark things. You start to see actions that are destructive and have been destructive for not just one generation or two generations or three generations, but 20 generations and 30 generations. Now, you may say to me, well, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that there's no hope for white people? I'm not saying that there's no hope for white people. I'm saying that the only hope lies in these things that I'm mentioning here. Too many folks like to talk about history in contemporary phrases. Or if they try to go back to paint a contemporary picture, it's often limited to the 60s, the 50s, maybe the 40s, or the 70s, or the 80s. But if you really look at especially a lot of books recently about contemporary issues, they go back to the 60s and the 50s. And I get it, especially when you're talking about race, that was a major turning point. However, if you're really going to get down to the crux of a lot of this stuff, you got to go back further. And I'm to the point of reading a lot of these books where I think there's some good books being published, but people need to start working together, man. There needs to be way more interdisciplinary projects, book projects going on now. We've graduated from the, well, I'm going to be brilliant because I'm a singular person phase of humanity. No. The greatest works are going to come from those people who are putting together 3, 4, 10, 12 disciplines. I have a book on my bookshelves right now that's a great example of that. It's an Afrocentric piece called The Return, Return to the African Mother Principle. 14, 15 disciplines went into that book. That was a collaborative piece. Has one name on it, but a lot of acknowledgments. Because the book was the total sum of the collaboration. So, there needs to be a deeper dive into history. And especially when it comes to these problems for white folks. A lot of them, again, dive deep into, they're embedded in the culture. When we talk about the idea of white guilt, we are talking about a cultural premise which states that whatever white people do is good, and the opposition to what white people are doing because it's good is bad. Now, to see this in action, and I know this is going to piss off some of y'all, but it's the truth. To see this in action, all you have to do is look through the book in the Bible called Exodus. That's all you got to do. You just got to look through that book That is called Exodus. In the book of Exodus, the Israelites are encouraged, and this spills over into the next book as well, to go into land after land after land and displace the people living there, no matter what they have to do to capture that land. Whether it's lying, whether it's murdering everybody, is what they have to do to capture it. And they are not to feel guilty about nothing. Nothing. According to the higher mind of the Bible. This was the spirit. And it's often lost today that this was the spirit. This was the spirit that white people used to go throughout the world and to take people's land. In fact, after studying Dr. King, and I'm still studying him, but the major years that I was active was from like 2010 to 2019. I mean, I was doing a lot of my work then with him. And what I came to realize was black people view Christianity significantly different than white people do. And in the last couple of years, I've come to really, 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 really lean on conservatives' interpretation of Christianity. Because learning how it was used in the Roman Empire, I've come to realize that the conservatives are living more truthfully in the light of what Christianity was supposed to be than the humanitarians who have taken the Christian book and reinterpreted it to try to bring some light out of that tome of darkness. Like I said, I know it's going to piss some of y'all off, but it's the truth. And this is how I know it's the truth. Because if the Bible was the end-all be-all that white people claim it to be, white people would follow it from a humanitarian instinct. And the Catholic Church wouldn't have 25 miles of bookshelves of ancient papers that they are hiding from the world to keep the world in darkness. Recently, the Catholic Church, I think it was the Catholic Church. If not the Catholic Church, it was one of its major dioceses or what have you over in Europe, have said that it was going to put like $100 million or something like that, make that available to groups of people throughout the world that it had done wrong to. And it's getting criticism by people in Europe for saying that it would do that. Ladies and gentlemen, understand something. The Catholic Church just don't do, like, it's, the Catholic Church is not an institution that just does stuff. They have a staff of people there who their only job, technically a little bit more than that, but is to track what's happening in the cosmos. Oh yeah, you didn't know it. While the Catholic Church over the last 1,000+ years have been telling you that astrology is evil and divination is horrible, the Catholic Church does astrology, y'all. They got one of the largest astrological collections in the world. Now, I knew that they had a large astrological collection, but only recently did I find out how big it was. It's huge. And what they are seeing, and they ain't the only ones. I've read some other astrologers' forecasts for this upcoming century, for the next 100 years. What they are seeing is that they're now under judgment. Their incapacity to build a following greater than what they have at the current moment is being hindered by the evil that they have done and in many instances continue to do. They have to start, in other words, sewing up those wounds. And that's what they're doing. At the same time, they're being criticized for it. Which should tell you something about the culture that they helped to create. And they did help to create it. Don't let them fool you. Because they'll try to. We are living in the throes. We are living in the throes of the last years of dominance of this imperial culture. Capitalism is the offshoot of imperialism. It was created by imperialism. I know a lot of you folks don't like to hear it, but it's the truth. It was created from an imperialism. The structures that it now uses was created to continue imperialism and colonization. A lot of the terminology that is utilized underscores colonization and enforces colonial rulership. We are living in what I suspect is the last two decades of capitalist rule. The reason I bring this up is because the fear associated with losing these institutional norms is likely going to cause white folks to act out in this country and possibly in ways that are incredibly dangerous. Now, I want to bring this home to you because to help you kind of see this, I want to tell you a story that really it kind of gives me chills because if this story is right, and I'm hoping it's not, yeah, this is going to be an interesting rest of the decade. So, as you all know, I look at history, I look at things that are happening, and I construct patterns from it. So, we all know, obviously, the year 2000, the presidential election was tainted by what was clearly moves that awarded the presidency falsely to George W. Bush. 2004, most people say, oh, well, that just wasn't stolen. But, there was this beautiful piece that I read years ago, like 2006, by one of the Ring of Fire guys. And it was brilliant. It was really good. And it suggested that no, in fact, 2004 was also stolen. Either way, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. I've said it before and I'll say it again. George Bush was never supposed to be president, but he was. Here's where my story begins. After watching what happened in 2004 and with the suspicion growing throughout the country, especially among younger people, I was among them at the time, in their 20s and early 30s, who were starting to think that there was something going on with the upper elite, where they were basically stealing the elections to ensure that their policies superseded what the next generation wanted. They came out, these young people came out in 2006 and showed up. It even surprised, it wasn't an overwhelming show up, but it even surprised, I remember watching one of the news stories, like, had to be 2 weeks after the election in 2006, and there was an air of surprise and shock that the swing was as, not as much as it was, but I think it was the number of people who showed up. With that in mind, though, I believe 2008 was allowed to go on like a normal election. No stealing, no shenanigans, no nothing. To kind of gauge to see where the country was at. And you saw what happened in 2008. You saw what happened in 2008. In response to that, the wealthy said, oh, hell no. No, because if we keep letting them vote like this without any kind of, diluting that vote, they're not only going to give the Democratic Party a supermajority with a lot of progressives in it in 2010, but they're going to give the Democrats a filibuster-proof Senate in 2010, which is going to only embolden progressives and people of the left. So they went to work. They went to work capturing state legislatures. They went to work capturing, and I must admit, they had been doing a little bit of this work already to back in the late 90s to kind of adjust districts, congressional districts, but they went to work to make sure that they could change as many districts as possible in 2010 as they could. And they started micro-targeting specific people in Congress to get rid of them. This isn't, by the way, conspiracy. This has been laid out in several books, including one that I quote often and talk about often is Dark Money. There are dozens of articles about this online. This isn't me just conspiracizing to you. This is real. They won in 2010. They kept their game going for 2012 and 2014. 2016 was a hiccup. While they intended, and this is where they overstepped. They intended for the Republicans to keep the House in the Senate, or to control the House in the Senate, should I say. They intended for Hillary Clinton to win the presidency. Obviously, that didn't happen. 2018, now I'm not saying, by the way, that all of those elections were fixed. No. They were playing a longer game. They were playing for 2020. And for changing the congressional districts. That was the goal. So that Republicans could win more than often. You know, more than they really should. Even with Democrats having more votes throughout the country, the Republicans would still be a viable party. 2018 shocked them again. More progressives won. And people showed up. And not only did they show up because they were dissatisfied with the political landscape, but they were doubly dissatisfied with the economic landscape. This is when things got fun. Because the institutions that these people rely on started going after progressives. They started going after progressives. Not only did they start going after progressives, but they also started going after millennials. They started going after Gen E. They didn't want millennials feeling empowered. They didn't want progressives feeling empowered. And they definitely didn't want Generation E feeling empowered. And for those of you who do not know, I refuse to call them Generation Z because Zoomer means nothing according to Gary Marx, not Karl Marx, Gary Marx, in the book The 16 Trends, this generation that they call Generation Z should be called Generation E because they are seeking equilibrium. The same people who designed the takeover of Congress in 2010 did not want that dream to be realized as we moved into 2020 and 2022. And they started attacking all of those groups via the media, via corporations, via social media sites. They went to work. And they were able to keep 2020 via the House, or should I say in the House and in the Senate, closer than it should have been. Then came 2022. Now they telegraphed their moves for 2022 immediately after Joe Biden was elected. I'm not talking like, this is 8-9 months after he was sworn in. No, their talking head courtiers started talking about Joe Biden having essentially 6 months worth of a presidency before he was a lame duck because the Republicans were going to take over everything in 2022. They started literally talking about that and putting that forward. GameStop surprised them. I know some of you don't, really remember that, but you might want to go and bring yourself back with that one because that showed the power of this generation. But again, they were still on track. Yep, the Republicans are going to take everything over, blah, blah, blah. This is just going to be another horse race. And then the Republicans got what they always wanted. Roe v. Wade overturned. Now, I'm not one of those people who actually believe that the only reason why things went the way they did in 2022 is because of Roe v. Wade. I don't actually believe that. Now, I know I've heard Tom Hartman say, they've talked to people and people say, well, they're here because of Roe v. Wade. I actually believe, and I said this in 2021, I believe people are engaged because they feel the threat around them. They feel the threat around them. And to give you an idea of how these groups of people were playing these games, there was an attempt. The reason why Roe v. Wade was overturned, neutered, whatever you care to call it, when it was done, was because it was supposed to give a long enough time period for people to kind of tire of fighting it. Or not necessarily fighting it. How do I want to say this? It would lose its luster. It would lose its impact. It was overturned in May or June. And the election was 5 or 6 months away. It was far enough away where it could either be or not be a factor in the election. Moreover, as we crept closer to the election, how odd was it that inflation was where it was? How odd. Now, that could just be coincidence. But I still say, how odd. So where are we at now? Because obviously you know how 2022 ended. Where we're at right now, and all of you need to really be paying attention to this, is a fear that the wealthy have. And that fear is this. In 2024, the Republicans are going to get destroyed. The Democrats could hold the House of Representatives by 40 or 50 seats. That's the fear. That the Democrats could take the Senate by 53 or 54. That's the fear. Why? Because the bigger fear is if that happens with the tracking of this newer generation and how it's unfolding. Not only is it likely that 2024 will not be the last major blowout for the Republicans, but considering the left nature of this generation and how the society is moving to the left, it's likely in 2026 and 2028, It's likely in 2026, the Republicans, unless something diabolical happens, will not be able to reclaim either chamber, which then puts them in the position in 2028 to either overperform or, and this is where the fear comes in, not only may they underperform, but we may be looking at a situation that mimics that of the 1930s, where the Republicans are not only in a minority position, but they are in a substantial minority position, continuing with the fear. Because this is important, y'all. This all comes down to you being engaged, you being a part of this voting strategy over the next 10 plus years. If the fear comes true in 2024 and 2026 and 2028, it is unlikely that the Republicans are going to catch up and fill those gaps in 2030. Meaning what? In 2032, the Republicans will not only be in a minority position, but an extreme minority position. It is possible, therefore, in the next 10 years for a third party to emerge. I have an episode that I've actually recorded. I haven't put it out yet, but I will be doing it shortly, where I explain something that historians haven't realized. And that is, in the 1960s, the Republican Party died as an institution. They died as an institution. And what we are seeing today is the zombified mummification of that institution. It's a dead party. In the 1960s, a third party should have emerged to become the left of center, left of left-centered parties, with the Democratic Party being the moderate party. But it didn't happen. Obviously, again, today is Dr. King's birthday. I want to salute him. The man did great work. And to all the conservatives out there who are using his name incorrectly to talk about his dream, cut it out. You look foolish. Dr. King destroyed your conservatism on multiple occasions. Multiple occasions. And even though you think that the kind of conservatism that I talk about, that I connect myself to, is your conservatism, no. No, 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 no. Dr. King isn't you, and you sure enough ain't him. You aren't standing up for his principles. You know nothing about his dream. You know nothing about the black institutions that formed him. And you don't care to know, because you're all about control. I've been waiting for something to happen. It's one form of conservatism, I suppose. y'all have any questions, comments, concerns, please reach out to me. I love hearing from y'all. I want to thank you all for joining me, and hopefully this will be a year where, you know, I get on a real good schedule with these things and maybe pump out 50 or 60 of them, you know? All right, I'm your brother, Brian Meredith, y'all. Thank you. Peace. There's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns to the wars that are fought in places where their business interest runs. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again. How the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments killing their own, or the people who find they can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone. And there are lives in the balance.
Thank you.